And I'd like to start by looking at one verse, and then we'll go back and look at a few verses before it. But verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17, this is a command. It is also a principle, something that Paul practiced and something he wanted us to practice as well. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, 17, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." What does it mean to glory? Does it mean that anybody got an idea what you... I talk about this a little bit. What does it mean to glory? What do you think? Brother Dahlman, thoughts?
It's a fulfillment, whether it's a self-fulfillment, but our glory needs to be directed to God, and he deserves all the glory. So it's not for ourselves, but it's for his glory to be our fulfillment.
Okay. practical thought. If you had an athlete, and I won't name one, you can think of some if you like, a baseball player, or a basketball player, a football player, and they're very good at what they do. People give them credit for their accomplishments, right? They say, "Oh, that guy, he can hit a baseball like nobody else can, or he can throw a baseball, or he can shoot a basketball, or whatever." And they give them credit, they give them glory for what they do. But when you and I do something, God should get the glory. Amen? And especially, for example, if you lead somebody to the Lord, or if you teach a Sunday school class, or if you serve God during the fall Bible camp, or if you have a prayer answered, what we do, if you read the verse again, he says, if you're going to glory, glory in the Lord. In other words, look what the Lord did. Now, sometimes we could be disappointed in ourselves, couldn't we? We could say, for example, you know, "I just don't think I can do anything," or "I don't see any results," or "It doesn't seem like I can make any difference," or "It seems like I have not accomplished what I had hoped to," and you might even think you have failed in some regard. Do you think you're in God's hands? Amen? So, Noah preached. Somebody fix my math. I'm not sure. How long did it take him to build the ark? 120 years, was it? About 120? And nobody listened to him. Did he fail? No. was it Isaiah or Jeremiah? And he asked God, "How long should I prophesy?" And the Lord said, "Until Israel's destroyed, because they're not going to listen to you." And they're not going to listen to you, he said. Did that make him a failure? No. What we accomplish or don't accomplish, if somebody built a big church, you know, somebody went to some city and they started from scratch and now they got a church of 1,000 people, they didn't build that church, God did. If they built the church, they were wasting their time. In fact, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." But when you turn that around and you think about, well, what about somebody that serves God faithfully and you don't see a lot of results? The glory that God gets is based on what he does. And in Noah's case, no results. Noah still did what he was called to do, and God got glory. And we're not here to say I'm a success or I'm a failure. We're here to say I belong to God and I do what God asked me to do. Amen? So with that thought in mind, and I'm going to have to be kind of brief tonight, but let's go back and look at verse 12. Now, who in the world, in the New Testament, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, who do you know that had more success than the Apostle Paul? Okay, Peter had some good success. He preached on the day of Pentecost, and what was it, 5,000 people that got saved or and got baptized? Or but Paul, he started churches all over the place and wrote a significant portion, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a significant portion of the New Testament. Now, who else would have had more right to say, look what I have done, than Paul? He's one of the top five, definitely, wouldn't you say? So what he says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, we dare not. He's, you know, we would say, I wouldn't dare do that. You know, that's kind of the way he says it. We dare not make ourselves of the number, or we dare not be one of those people, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. There are some people that will tell you how good they are. They might not come out and look you in the eye and say, I'm good, but they'll find a way to tell you, won't they? They'll find a way to let you know that they're good, that they think they're good. And we're just making it real simple here. It doesn't matter what I think of me. It's what God thinks of me that matters. Amen? And so you may look at your life or your ministry or your week or your day or any situation you want to consider, and you may say, I don't feel very good about that. I didn't do a very good job. If you were doing what God told you to do, and you were faithful, it's God that did or didn't produce results. Amen? We had I remember a man came in here and preached out of Judges about 2 years ago when they fought the battle and lost. God said, go fight this battle. And they went and fought the battle and they lost. And God said, go fight again. And they fought again and they lost. And he reminded us, it's not whether you win or lose that matters. It's the fact is, God said, go, you win. Paul, of all the people, Paul could have said, I have credentials. I am successful. I have accomplished things. I have met goals and I've seen success. That was not his mindset. And you got to be careful, because if you're going to judge yourself that way, if you're going to say, well, I'm going to be happy when I'm accomplishing a lot and I'm not going to be happy when I'm not, I got to tell you, you're going to have some valleys in your life. There's going to be some times in your life when you don't see any results. The guys that go door to door on Thursday nights, they've had some pretty rough nights. Amen? And they come back from those nights kind of bruised a little bit, not physically, but spiritually bruised a little bit. Oh, last night people were really, really angry and people slamming doors. And then the next couple of weeks they go, oh, somebody got saved. But you know what? Both those nights bring glory to God. Amen? In fact, I think probably that you get more glory to God when you go even when people reject you. Amen? In fact, I can prove that, because Jesus said when he was crucified, he said he was going to be glorified. And in submitting to God through crucifixion and dying for our sins, he was glorified. So even the worst defeat might be great glory. Hey, I got to just jump out of the message for a minute and remind you, the Lord could come back tonight. Wouldn't that be great? I'm ready. Some lost people aren't ready. And the Bible says God's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God hasn't come back yet, because there's still some people that need to get saved. But, hey, you know what? When he comes back, even though Noah preached 120 years and nobody listened to him, Noah obeyed God. There's great reward in that. Your accomplishments are not the thing you glory in. You glory in the fact that God did what he did and he used you. So Paul says, I'm not going to commend myself. I'm not going to be one of those people that commends himself. He says in verse 12, in the middle of the verse, they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Okay, so I'm going to take you out to the playground, right? We got some elementary children, and they're on the playground. They're shooting a basketball. A little boy says, I am the best basketball shot here. I can shoot the basketball better than anybody. And the other little boys can't shoot the basketball quite as well. And so he's decided he's the best. Let's pick him up and take him to the NBA. He might not be as good as he thinks he is. I was telling everybody, they have this thing out in California. And you can throw a baseball and it'll tell you how fast you threw it. Anybody ever done that? And you ever done? Anybody ever done that? Okay, so they've got it's a hard ball. There's a strike box, and you throw the ball as hard as you can. They got a radar, and it'll tell you how fast you throw the ball. And I thought, you know, I used to be a pitcher when I was a kid. I bet I can throw that ball pretty fast. I threw that thing as hard as I could, 45 miles an hour. I don't know if you know it or not, but a professional pitcher, a slow pitch is in the 80s. I don't know how they do it. I tried and tried and tried, and I couldn't break 50. A fastball is 100 miles an hour. So I can say, oh, I can throw a ball really fast. That's because I'm comparing myself to the slow guys. You want to talk about how good you are, somebody? Compare yourself to God. Amen? We don't match up, do we? There's no reason to be competitive. Oh, I'm better than you. You're not better than God. I'm a better soul winner. I'm a better teacher. I'm a better whatever. No, it all comes from God anyway. Amen? And if you see any results, God's the one that gave the results. Or if you didn't see results, God's the one that said, good that you preached, but no results. That's okay. God can do that. So he says, I'm not going to be one of those people that compares myself. It's not wise. Look at verse 13. He says, we will not boast of things without our measure. Let me finish the verses and I'll explain what this means. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure which reach even unto you. If you think about things without your measure, it'd be sort of like saying, hey, Pastor Schaefer, reach up and touch the ceiling. I can't. I'm not tall enough. The ceiling is beyond my measure. It's beyond my ability. Paul had done some things that he couldn't do, but God really is the one that did them. And we are the same way. Amen? So whatever is accomplished, God's the one that accomplished it. And we would be fools to boast about that. And he says, we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, in verse 14, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things that, without our measure that we can't do, or that we didn't do, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. There's a whole lot there, and all I can say is this. He points out the fact, if you might remember where Corinth is a long way from Israel, and Corinth is a difficult city. It's a wicked city. It's known for its wickedness. It's known for its idolatry. Anywhere you are in Corinth, I told you, in the market or wherever, you can look up and there's two things you're going to see. There's a low hill with a temple to Apollo on it because that's what they worship. That's what they trust in. And then there's a bigger hill called the Acro-Corinth, and it's a pretty good-sized thing. And that's where the army would go when enemies came, and they would all go up there and wait until the enemy left. And that's the place of safety because of their strength. So you got trusting in idols, trusting in your own strength. They weren't trusting in God. And if you'd have gone there to preach the gospel, if you ever ask yourself that question, how on earth did Paul ever see any converts? It was a pagan world, wasn't it? It's because God gave him converts. I've asked myself that. You might think about it. Let's just say God called you to be a missionary. Let's pick a country, New Guinea. There's a lot of places in New Guinea. Where there's some people out there in the jungle. There's other places like this. Samoa is kind of like this. And certainly Brazil. Brazil would be a good example. God calls you to the Amazon region of Brazil. I know a fellow that went there. And you go to the Amazon region of Brazil, and you get in your canoe, and you paddle up the Amazon about 500 miles, and you get out of the canoe, and you've learned enough language to talk to these people. Why on earth should they listen to you? Who are you? But you preach the gospel and somebody gets saved. The only way I can explain that is the Holy Spirit. But why should the guy down the street listen to us? Now, we can do a few things to show them that we're sincere. We can stay faithful. We can serve children like we're going to. We can, you know, be nice to them and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, God's got to do the work. And without getting into all the details, Paul says, the only reason I even came to you, the reason I got there is because of God. So just the fact that he could get to them and preach the gospel, much less that they would hear. And so he says, I'm going to begin reading in verse 15 again. It's a long sentence. It starts in verse 14. He says, we stretched on ourselves beyond measure, not boasting of things that we couldn't do in verse 15, or of other men's labors, having hope that when your faith is increased, we can be enlarged by you. And he's saying that we're hoping that they would encourage him and they would provide for him. Verse 16, here's the goal, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Wow, still again, kind of complicated, but here's the thought. We'd like to reach our community. But is that where it stops? You know what we'd like to do, we'd like for God to do, is for God to let us reach some people so that then they can reach some more people. And then they can reach some more people. Got an email from our missionary McCormick to Peru. And his description was that he's rounding third base. Did you get that email, Mark? I don't know if you're getting his email or not. McCormick to Peru. And he said, we're rounding third base. They're excited about getting to Peru. And you know how come they're going to get to Peru? One reason, because 16 years ago, somebody came to Arizona and started a church. Some folks got saved, and the church grew, and the church took on the McCormick family as missionaries. That's us. Took them on as missionaries, and now they're going to go to Peru. And you know what they'd like to do? They'd like to start a church in Peru and see some folks there raise up and send a missionary somewhere else. And it's all God doing it. There's no way to explain it any other way. So there's nothing to brag about or boast about. And then there's nothing for us to depend upon in ourselves because, like Paul says, it's beyond our measure. We can't do it. I'm not going to boast about that, he says. The best thing we can do is let God work through us and then, in the end, reach some folks so that God can work through them to reach some other people. And it must be a pretty good plan because it's been going on now for about 2,000 years. And there's a lot of churches out there, and the reason they're there is not because they were really well organized and had great programs and painted the building the right color and all the rest. The reason they're there, if they're there for the right reason, is that God blessed. And folks, God can bless us too. But we got to be faithful. There's a verse in the Bible in Galatians that says, in due season we will reap if we faint not. Amen? And isn't it easy when you start to get a little older, a little weaker, a little tireder, a little more experienced to think, wow, I'm not sure how much farther I can go? Well, how far can God go? Amen? So the whole thought here, and it just kind of put it back in the context, Paul says, you know, self-commendation is not the point here. And he's been telling them in 2 Corinthians about his ministry. He comes to this place, it's almost like a disclaimer. I've been telling you what I've suffered. I've been telling you what I've done. I've been telling you where I got my authority. I've been telling you my purpose and my goal and what I've accomplished and great things have happened. And he says, but just remember something. It's not me. It's God. And we'll come back to those last two verses and I'll be done. He says, he that glorieth, whether it's Paul or you or me or anybody, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Have you ever won first place at anything? So there's this church, and they're being humorous about it. And they put a sign on the road. And the sign said something like, this church has been voted the best Baptist church in town. Well, what's the first question? Who voted? Right? Someone votes themselves the best Christian. Well, maybe you would vote that way. I might not. But anyway, they said, no, we took a vote in our church members and we all agree we're the best Baptist church in town. I think we ought to be more worried about what God's opinion is than what our opinion is. Amen? And commendation, I was in the military. I think I told you this story, but I'll be brief. I was in the military, and just the short version, it was the end of summer camp. We've been there for 2 weeks. We're all ready to get in the trucks and go back to South Texas. We're on the way home. the last formation before we go home, and they've got the whole battalion there, and we're all standing out in the sun at Fort Hood at attention and then at ease, and it's hot, and it's in the middle of the morning, and we're tired, and they want to give out some awards. And we thought, okay, this is really nice, but we really would like to go home. And so they called us to attention, and they said, Lieutenant Schaefer, come to the front. Okay, so I walk up to the front, and I walk up to the colonel, and I stand there, and I'm standing at attention to salute, and stand there. And he says, Lieutenant Schaefer, your platoon, or your armory, I was a National Guard Armory commander, he said, your armory has the best supply record in the entire battalion. Here is some certificate or something. So saluted him, turned around, walked back. I didn't even know they had such a contest. I knew good and well I had nothing to do with it. And the fact of the matter is, my first sergeant, who was a finagler, when they would have an inspection and they knew they were going to come count gas masks, he would call the armory in the next town over and say, hey, they're going to inspect me on Friday. Can I borrow 3 gas masks? And can I borrow 2 backpacks? And can I borrow a helmet? And nothing important like rifles or anything. But, of course, we were doing good. They were moving stuff around. And I found out about that later, and I kind of felt bad about the award. You know what? When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be kind of the same thing. You may get an award, and the first thing you're going to realize is, I didn't do it. He did it. Amen? But at least be there for him to use. I enjoy giving gifts to my children. When I was in the National Guard, and I was reading about this the other day, too much detail, but when I was in the National Guard, they used to tell us all the time, make sure you recognize your soldiers. Make sure you recommend them for a promotion. Make sure you recommend them for commendations. And I was an officer, and I had about 30 people in my platoon, and because if you don't recommend them, they're not going to get anything. Oh, no problem. Give me the paper. I'll recommend these guys. And I was always recommending them for stuff. I enjoyed giving them rewards. God enjoys giving us rewards. And he realizes the truth of the matter is we can't do anything. He can. But you got to be there. Amen? You know, you think about a meeting like the Joe Mark meeting that we're going to have in a couple of weeks. I remember real well when I was in Salt Lake City, I had 2 jobs. I woke up every morning and I went to my first job from 6 until 9 in the morning. I went to my second job from 9 until 5. I went back to my first job from 5 until about 7, except on Wednesdays I'd leave early and go to church. On Thursdays I'd go on visitation. And then the pastor would say, hey, we're going to have a week of meetings. Ay, ay, ay. My wife will tell you, When I got home at night, I really had to go to bed by 9 o'clock because I knew I had to get enough sleep to get up at 5 because I had a half an hour drive to my first job at 6. I was tired all the time. And so the pastor says, we're going to have a week of meetings. Whew. I'm sure glad I went. You know, you say, well, what am I going to do, pastor? You're going to be an encouragement to others by being there. You're going to pray. And you're going to bring a visitor maybe. Amen? And I say maybe, but God will let you if you'll ask him to. And you say, well, what difference does it make? It just brings glory to God. When we are where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing, he's the one doing all the work anyway. Amen? Noah's just building that ark, just doing what he can. Nobody's listening to him, but he's still telling them. And just a thought, and that is, he did have some evidence that he believed what he was saying, didn't he? If anybody wondered if Noah believed it, all you got to do is look behind him and look at that big chunk of wood he just put together. Him and his sons and whoever else helped him. I don't know if anybody did. But when you looked at what he was doing with his life, it was evident that he believed God. And if we'll do that and just do what God called us to do, you may not see any results, but then back up a step. Didn't Noah have good results? Wow. Phenomenal results. Not in people getting saved, but things God did. That's what we need to do. Amen? Don't worry about what men think about you. Don't worry about whether or not you think you're satisfied with what you're doing. Now, if there's something you need to take care of in your life, it's a different matter, sin, that kind of thing. But when you are where God wants you to be, just keep on serving. He gets the glory no matter what. Amen? And I think you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven That little something that you did that you didn't even know about made a huge difference in eternity. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.